Welcome to The Inner Game. I'm Gwen Garcelon, your host. Thanks for listening. The Inner Game is about how we nurture and attend to our mind, body, spirit health, and how that allows us to play a bigger game and make a bigger contribution in the area of purpose that calls to us. And these are conversations with people who are committed to making an evolutionary difference with their lives from a place of balance and love and service. Today, I am welcoming Kate Ekman to the show. Kate's new book is called The Full Spirit Workout, a 10-step system to shed your self-doubt, strengthen your spiritual core, and create a fun and fulfilling life. She's an executive coach and meditation teacher, and she's a kindred spirit with many similar insights into this human journey. So really excited to jump in. So happy you're here, Kate.
Thank you so much for having me. It's my joy to be here and connect with you and your beautiful audience.
It's a good audience. You know, I wanna start with this quote of yours about the body. Because I just finished an article that shares my own journey with body issues, so it really stood out for me. You say, it's an instrument of purpose that allows you to experience and express joy. And I just want you to talk a little bit about that, you know, about our bodies being an instrument of purpose that allow us to experience and express joy.
Yeah, I think we place so much emphasis on what our body looks like in every way, shape, and form. And we get clues and cues from society on how it's quote unquote supposed to be. And all of that is just a lie. And we really do have to consciously make our own rules and standards of beauty for what works best for us. And a simple and very powerful, but not always easy way to do this is to reframe and shift the way that we look at our bodies. Rather than something that is to be judged or used or needs to look a certain way, we look at our body as that vessel to go about life, to do absolutely everything we do and experience. Our body helps us and allows us to taste great food, to kiss, to hug our loved ones, to see a beautiful sunset, to hear uplifting music, and to touch cozy, warm blankets. I mean, pick your scents and things that your body allows you to do. I think we take for granted that our body gets us out of bed every morning to go about our day and to be parents or coworkers, friends, and create beautiful, creative work to help energize the world. And so putting the emphasis on like what you say, the inner game and the inner role that our beautiful bodies play, and that they are just this instrument that we can play for the world in our own unique way.
Yeah, I love that emphasis on what we value, because really that's what the full spirit workout is about, right? Like really finding and disciplining ourselves to keep our focus on what we value in life. I wonder like how that sort of started to show up for you as part of the full spirit workout.
Yeah, I was working as what the industry calls a quote unquote plus size model, which means that I'm size 6 and greater.
You're actually normal.
Yeah, exactly. So if you are size 6 or larger, the fashion industry calls you plus size, which is a whole other story and radio show.
Yeah.
And so I was working as a size 12 swimsuit model for years. I worked as, you know, I've modeled all sorts of things, but that day I was a swimsuit model and I was working alongside a size 0, which was often the case, show different styles on different body types. And I was publicly body shamed by a major news organization's Facebook live feed. And I read some of the comments and they were really disheartening to read, not just for what it did to me personally, but you know, because I choose to put myself out there in the public in this way. But what concerned me was the young girls and women, young boys and girls to see and hear someone's body being criticized in this way and someone's body who represents the majority of people. And that's what really concerned me. And so I wrote about it publicly, and that was the article went viral because I think so many people could relate to it and relate to my story, whatever they look like, whatever shape or size or skin tone, or everyone has their thing where they feel quote unquote other, or they feel lacking in some way based on societal standards. And, you know, I had to be real with myself, and I was so upset by this harsh criticism that some people threw my way. But then I had to say, well, Kate, you dish out some pretty harsh criticism to yourself. And so I think really healing and mending that relationship with myself and my body, and starting to, like we just discussed, look at it as this vessel of love and healing, and a vessel that allows me to do absolutely everything in my life, and to treat it better and talk to it more kindly, and love and nurture and honor and embrace it through daily acts of kindness. And, you know, choosing to eat foods that energize me and that are more plant-based, in my case, that feel better for my health, and to move my body for fun and for movement. And but so much of it was just the way that I chose to see and talk to my body. And so I think we're all a little guilty of dishing out that harsh criticism. And while we do get so offended when others treat us badly, I think when we can be aware of how often we treat ourselves badly and clean that up, will then also attract people who treat us better and speak to us more kindly.
Agreed. You have a background in the Course in Miracles, and it's so clear over the years, you know, this political need to separate church and state. I totally get that. But what I feel like it's done is stripped our spiritual self and our spiritual practice out of business or civic life, and it's such a big part of who we are and how we experience what we value, and I wonder how you've been able to bring that back into those areas where it's been kind of stripped away.
Yeah, that's a great question, and something I think about often, because I see clients who are high achievers, high performers, very successful in the material world or in a corporate space or have their own business, and they're not talking about God or universe or spirituality or getting in touch with their heart or their spirit. But what I'm finding is that now more than ever, people are really open to it. And even I work for an organization where clients are able to choose their coach, and there's several of us on the site. And I've had several men, especially, which is really, I don't even have the word for it, I guess inspiring for me, because oftentimes you go to any spiritual workshop or gathering and it's 99% women. And so someone's husband may be dragged there against their will and then say, oh, this is actually really great. I'm glad I came or was forced here. And so what they said is, you know, I don't really have a spiritual practice, but I'm open to it. Or I love your mind-body-spirit approach. And so I think what that speaks to is that people are struggling. People are open and willing to new ways of being, to new keys for a better way of life. And while I might not use, I know God is a very loaded word for many people. And when I say God, I'm talking about unconditional love. That's what God means to me. It's a force greater than ourselves that created the sun, the moon, the stars, and little old me and you, and to lean into that power, because it is within us as well. And I don't think people really grasp that idea oftentimes, or it's uncomfortable. And so I think, just as A Course in Miracles says, our good intentions are not enough. Our willingness is everything. So just seeing clients who are willing to embrace a new way of being. And so I am careful with the language that I choose when I'm speaking to organizations or clients who are coming from a very corporate space and the company is paying for the coaching, for example. But I just, for me, it's my job to ask the questions that really get to the core of who they are. I can tell their questions that they've never been asked, because you see the look on their face. You see them, they even will say that to you, but you see them slowly, or actually in some cases quite quickly, open up and go to a deep place within themselves, which is their spirit, which is spirituality. And I don't even need them to use that word, because it's happening. We don't need to label it, but I think people are opening up more and more, because they're seeing, especially this past year, that the normal way of doing things isn't working. They feel unfulfilled. Their lives feel meaningless. Even if they are achieving success, they don't feel comfortable in their bodies, in their job, in their marriage, in their life. So they're at a place where I was when I took a deep dive into spiritual practices. It's almost a place of, I hate this word, but desperation of like, this isn't working. I'm willing to try anything. What you got? And something that's a lot more healthy and will actually move the needle on your well-being as opposed to drugs, alcohol, shopping, sex, and on any of those other things that people turn to in an addictive way, which I have no shame around, no blame or judgment. We've all been there, first of all, whatever your vice is. But I just find that the spiritual aspect and getting in touch with our spirituality is so liberating. And really then you open yourself up to endless possibilities for yourself and your life.
And isn't it amazing that we're starting, you know, to deepen our understanding of addiction and know now that a big part of that is our psyche's longing for that spiritual connection. And we try to fill that void with whatever the vice is.
Yeah. And, you know, even as you were talking, I closed my eyes because the exact word I was thinking was connection. And yes, the spiritual connection to God, universe, whatever you want to call it, divine wisdom, divine intelligence. We're all craving connection to ourselves, to each other, and to a higher power that is going to support and guide us and give us this wisdom and help us on our journey. And I think a lot of people just don't even know where to begin. And that was a huge why and purpose behind writing this book and giving people the practical tools and tips and strategies and exercises and making it fun so that you actually want to do it. Because we've all, you know, gone back to the gym or some workout program and we don't really like it, so we stop going. So for me, it was important to make it simple and straightforward. These practices, I don't want to call them easy because it is a commitment. Some of them will feel counterintuitive, like being okay with not doing anything for a whole day. I call it the art of doing absolutely nothing. Beautiful practice, tremendous results. And people feel
so hard.
Cause it's like, what do you mean? I'm not making money. I'm not achieving. I'm not accomplishing. And I said, but you are achieving and accomplishing. You're achieving inner peace. You're accomplishing relaxation. You're getting to know yourself on a deeper level. And by the way, when you do this, when you go back to work, whatever your job is, mom, CEO, whatever, you are achieving a lot more in less time. You do feel more connected to the people around you. You're talking to yourself and others better. You have this newfound sense of confidence and you're like, gosh, life just feels better and I feel in the flow. And oh my gosh, dare I say I'm feeling fun and this is this fulfillment? Oh my gosh. You know, so it's like this stuff works if you do, but I think people are sometimes intimidated or they just like, oh, that sounds too good to be true. And it's just try it out. Just even 5 minutes a day. Just start somewhere, like anything else that you've tried in your life.
Absolutely. And for those just joining, this is Gwen Garcelon, and you're listening to The Inner Game on KDNK. And I'm talking with Kate Ekman, author of The Full Spirit Workout. And you just mentioned confidence. And, you know, I feel like that's such a big part of what you share and part of what's a major block for so many people, because we get so many messages that, you know, reinforce our own bad inner messages that, you know, we should doubt ourselves and we're not quite good enough. And I think that the confidence practice is so vital. And you share this amazing insight that the roots of confidence, the etymology, actually steer us toward trust. So say a little bit about that and the three components of building confidence.
That was one of my favorite things I discovered in all of my research, that confidence stems from the words to trust, to do something with trust, which means it is an inner game like your show. And it's something that can be learned and built upon. And it is a practice. It isn't about what we look like or how much money we have or, you know, what state we come from and what we look, you know, what race we are, all of those things. It is a practice that we can build on. And it, you know, it starts with the trust and then the willingness to show up and not be great at first or ever. That's me in dance class. Never going to be great in dance class, but I build confidence by being there because I'm willing to show up and do my best at something that does not come naturally to me. And so it's even other people in the class who are actually dancers and know what they're doing, they're just like, wow, good for you. And look at her go. And they're all cheering and clapping for me, just being willing to, you know, put myself out there in a vulnerable way. And I also have the five P's of confidence, which are presence, patience, purpose, preparation, and practice. And then I recently came up with my bonus P's because they kept emerging, and that's pause and person, as in be a person. And, you know, I know we don't have time to go into all of them at length, but what I'll say about patience that I love, because that word, I'm really into etymology, and that stems from the Latin word for suffering. So no wonder we're just like, oh, I want this thing. I want it now. I want it my way. But that's why we're kind of suffering while we're waiting. And when I think of one of my favorite stories to illustrate patience, I think of 20 years ago at the 2001 Grammy Awards, country singer Shelby Lynn won Best New Artist. And when she accepted her award, she was gracious, but a little snarky and sassy, which was funny. And she said, "Ah, Best New Artist, it only took 13 years and six albums to get here."
Right.
It's the only acceptance speech I remember in 20-something years of watching the Grammys. And I just think, yeah, because we all, especially Best New Artist. Oh, she started last year. Now she won a Grammy. Must be nice. Good
mm-hmm.
for her.
Yep.
You know, the people who want that say, who are watching at home. And
it all just happens
to the Grammys.
Magically,
yeah,
right?
Right. And she called it out. And I think of a story a little closer to home is the reason why I'm alive. My mother couldn't get pregnant for 8 years. And she did a spiritual practice where she, quote unquote, gave it up and didn't throw in the towel, but gave it up to a higher power. And I think that released all the stress and pressure off of her body. And a month later, she was pregnant with my brother. And my brother and I are a year and a half apart. So she had a healthy boy and girl, miracle children, as she calls us. And in 2 years, and less than 2 years, after 8 years of nothing. And the doctor saying, if you want to be a mom, you have to adopt. And so I'd like to even say this out loud because, you know, I've just released a book and I'm a first-time author and, you know, I'm not famous. I'm not a celebrity. And you do. You want to be where you'll be in 10 years right now. I think a lot of us fall into that. That's our culture too, especially in America. So again, releasing our grip and putting in the work, but then not gripping so hard. When we grip so hard to our goal and what we want, we actually repel it. So just leaning into trust, it is a practice, but it yields such great results.
That's that surrender piece that you write about, isn't it? You know, it's such an important thing that we, again, are unskilled in doing, because what are we surrendering to? Like, what's out there? Like, isn't that weak? Or, you know, if I surrender, isn't that, you know, just kind of copping out? And I think what the spiritual piece is the understanding that the only thing there is to surrender to is this force of love that's surrounding us all the time. You know, like now, quantum physics can even measure that. You know, like there's a vibration of love. It actually has a frequency, and it's what surrounds us and what is the creative energy in the universe. Like, that's it. And that's what you surrender to. The creative power of the universe. That sounds like a good thing to surrender to.
Absolutely. And I think there's this misconception about what surrendering even is, because you're not throwing in the towel. You're not saying, oh, well, this must not be for me. You are continuing to take action. You are continuing to put one foot in front of the other and keep going. But you're in that place, as I like to say, a quote of mine is, you're okay if it happens and you're okay if it doesn't. Knowing that if this thing you want doesn't happen, then you're being directed to something that's even more suitable and rewarding for you and everyone around, the collective whole, because it isn't just about us. It's about the collective higher good. And so I think it is a message of relief and peace. And this is really trusting that things are working out for you behind the scenes. You don't have to obsess or force or control. So
right.
It's like, what a concept. But again, I think we struggle with this because our culture tells us the exact opposite. You have to force and struggle just to make it through anything. And so that's why this is a practice. It is a workout. It is a system. But as you do it, you'll change your default setting. You'll become the person who can naturally attract what you deserve and desire. For instance, now people call and email me. I don't have to go on the hunt. Oh, I need this. I need that. I'm like, oh, wow, this person just offered me this opportunity. And it's because I've done these practices so often that I've become the person who attracts those experiences. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And it feels like it's really just a choice. Like, we don't have to believe anything or, to do these practices, it's just kind of like try it on and see how it works. Mm. So try on that everything's showing up for your highest and best. You know, next time you get into a situation where you have a difficult decision to make, or you're feeling woe is me, or, you know, whatever the challenging situation is, change the orientation to, okay, this is actually showing up for me. So where's the gift? And in my experience practicing that for a really long time, it has never failed me. There is always a gift. And things are always showing up for me. But it's like you don't have to believe it. Just try it on and practice it and see what happens.
Yeah. And sometimes the surrender and the inspired action step is like, all right, you're spinning out. You need to go sit down. If you're a parent, you know this skill very well because you've disciplined your children like to take a timeout. Sometimes we have to take an adult timeout or change the channel, as I say. You know what? Put on the cartoon instead of the news, both literally and figuratively, and go for a walk or take a nap. But really just sometimes the thing to do to surrender is, you know what? I am not in a place where I am not, as I like to say, I am not enlightened enough to not tell that person what a jerk they are being right now. So I'm going to step away from my phone and computer and take a walk and recenter myself because I'm really triggered right now. Or I will look up at God and the angels and say, please take this from me. I am spinning out of control right now. I am obsessing, but I'm willing not to be, or I'm willing to choose peace instead of this. And at first it's like, this is not going to work, or this sounds crazy. But as you do it, even as I'm saying it, I'm like, ooh, because I'm a human. I experience stress. I've got a lot going on right now. And so I have to sit down and say, you know what? I'm feeling some stress right now. I'm experiencing some anxiety. I am willing to feel peace instead, or I am willing to change the channel and not think about this for a moment and shift my focus elsewhere. That's why we do call it a practice, but it does work. And then you will change. Your brain will start to change. You will start to become a different, more empowered, at peace person. And I'm the proof of that. And that doesn't mean that we're all Buddha on the mountain and we don't experience pain and anxiety in bad moments. We certainly do. But then you have the tools to manage it when it comes up.
Mm. My meditation teacher used to say, it's not whether or not you'll get thrown out of the saddle or trying to keep yourself from getting thrown out of the saddle. It's about the grace, you know, that you practice to get back in time and time and again.
Yeah, and we all have to stop judging ourselves.
Yeah.
We place so much judgment on ourselves, and then it gets projected outward onto others. We judge people for what they look like or don't look like, how much money they have or don't have. Are you a parent or not a parent? Are you enlightened or not enlightened? Are you woke or unwoke? You know, I'm making up words here, but you get the idea. And it's just, thank you for laughing, because see, laughter also shifts the energy, because it's gross. It's gross. But once you're aware of it, you can be like, oh, wow, I am really judging this person. And when I'm judging this person, it means I'm judging myself. Ick. So going into a place of compassion and using this as, and like, I love what you just did, just laugh about it. Like, oh, wow, I'm being absurd right now.
That's,
I'm willing not to be.
Yeah, that's part of that mental metabolism that I love that you talk about. And just in the moment of, shifting to a positive orientation, like, okay, this bad thing, you know, whatever, has a gift in it for me, because everything's showing up for me. Like, making that shift in the moment gives us energy. You know, there's actually a metabolism of the thought process that gives us more energy to meet the moment. I love that.
Yeah, just like our food that we eat, our calories we burn to boost our metabolism and give us energy. And we all know that if you eat some vegetables and some protein, you're going to feel a lot better than if you, have a candy bar. And so it's the same with our thoughts. If you have this mentality and practice the art of trust and surrender and reframe and shift your focus into, oh, I can do this and everything is working out for me and I trust that I'm on the right path versus I never get anything right. I messed up again. I'm not good enough. Oh, even just saying it out loud, that's a sluggish metabolism and you're draining your energy and you're going to feel like crap. And so if you do feel yourself in a place of stress or anxiety or fear or frustration, start with two words that will boost your mental metabolism. And those are what if. So let's say you're like, oh, I'm experiencing so much anxiety. You can say, what if I'm not experiencing anxiety? What if I'm experiencing an opportunity to grow? What if this is the sign I needed to leave this job? What if this is boosting my mental metabolism so I can finally write the book, get into the relationship, build the business, start my yoga practice, whatever it is. What if this is fun? What if this moment, and even at first, I get it. It might feel a little, what are you even talking about? But as you make it a practice, you will shift sooner and you'll start to actually believe your thoughts.
Beautiful place for us to wrap up. And thanks so much, Kate. And thanks, listeners, for listening today. If you have a question for Kate or me, you can join the Facebook page at The Inner Game and we can continue the conversation there. And until next time, make sure you do something every day that makes you feel whole.
Far awake, you my shine.